What's up, everybody? Fan morning show. Brent Gunning. I'm going to tread lightly. I don't want to startle him too early in the morning. Sam McKee. Sammy, how you doing this morning, bud?
Fine. Yourself?
Okay. Better than fine, I think. Doing well, actually, I'd say. I'd go as far as to say well. I had a lovely morning or last couple mornings with Ailish, although, you know, I miss you in the morning and your sunny disposition. Although the two of us together, it's like it's too much happiness. It's too much sunshine. So I think it's kind of perfect. You and Cuthbert filling the, you know, little more real energy. Let's keep it real.
So Ailish comes in, you know, with bells on.
She beat me in both days this week. So
that's insane. What? And you get here like way too early.
Yeah. Okay. Like, yeah, I know. How dare I show up a half hour before the show I do?
Yeah, it's way too early.
It's way too early. You got in here way too early for you today.
Yeah.
You feeling okay?
No, I'm feeling like absolute hell.
Okay. You got a great hat on, though.
Thank you.
I didn't compliment you off air. I was, you know, I gave you a dozen golf balls last time we did a show in this slot together, and it made you happy. But I realized I aired in doing it I did it before the show started. Yeah. So I saved my golf related compliment for you.
While
we're on air,
I will say that as any golfer knows, and we'll get into the Jays and the deadline and whatever happened. But hold on, is Ailish texting us?
Probably. She's driving right now, so text and drive,
so
or do up, text and drive.
She's up early already.
Yeah.
Grinder Ailish here, up on the road bright and early, few hours in on the big East Coast trip. Few hours in.
Yeah,
feeling
she said
good,
she was
crushing coffees, ready to listen to my favorite dudes break down the Jays this AM. Is that a eye roll emoji and a arm emoji, like the big muscle arm?
Wow.
She's obviously never seen me with no tarp on because there's no muscles.
Zero over here as well.
What I will say about Proby,
for the record, she was on the road at 3. She told me this morning. So good luck.
I go to a golf course and I play with those beautiful balls that you have given me.
Mm.
And for some reason, you know, I don't really lose a lot of golf balls. I'm not trying to say that as a brag. I can't speak. It's my job.
You actually, we're pulling back the curtain quickly. You grabbed the wrong mic before the show started. I had to say, this is the one you talk into.
But like, I can keep a crappy Kirkland ball in my bag.
Hey. No disparaging Costco.
In my bag, literally the whole year. And then, like, for some reason, these beautiful, brand new Titleists, they just fly out the window. I don't know where they've gone. Like, I've got two sleeves left. It's like I've lost 6 balls, and I've played, like, I haven't even played that much golf. I've played twice in the last 2 weeks.
I've got the same dozen sitting in my garage, and I'm going out to play later today, right after the show,
Did you take them?
Not a chance. Those are coming out until I show again. Last time I played golf, I swung it so bad, I threw out my back, and then I went to the range yesterday and did nothing to.
I broke my back.
Yeah, breaking my back. Shout out Jeff Passan. I did nothing to make myself think that that's going to go any better today. So no, the Pro V's are going to stay tucked away inside until.
You might as well use them.
No. Look, I'm not sitting here going, when I break 90, that's when the Pro V's will come out.
Is there water at Humber Valley?
Well, I didn't think I was going there when I left my house today.
Well, there's water at Ray-Ban.
No, definitely not a par 3 that I take a picture of literally every single time.
That's only one.
Yeah,
there's
a little while. There's also a death water hole at Humber. Shout out 15 at Humber Valley there. Keep the tech. It's all on the right side.
Oh, yeah,
for you,
so
it's like there's water. For me,
that's
it's
a really good par 3.
Yeah, it is. I hate it because I've never made anything less than a bogey there in my life. But yeah, so there's a little quick City of Toronto golf chat. Do you have any more general morning grousing or would you like to do Blue Jays related grousing?
Just really happy to be here. I'm thrilled that I was chosen again to do this. You know, Ryan Favreau, shout out Ryan Favreau. Just my favorite season of the year, summer, and he's just ruining it every time he puts me on the schedule
time. Again, somebody could say,
really shout out.
Somebody could say, ruining.
Yeah.
You are already up and at him. You could just go do what I'm going to do and go play golf after the show.
No, I absolutely cannot do that. I did that once and I barely could, I was by the sixth hole. I was like, this is terrible. I'm terrible at this. And I may be terrible at golf. I was so bad yesterday.
So you and I aren't going to, we're not going to have a dalliance.
No,
no.
Shout out Ryan Logan from Golf Canada. Played Devil's Paintbrush yesterday. Number 9 in the country. Unbelievable experience. What a day. But God, I'm terrible at golf now. Mm. So, yeah, it's Gunnar. I'm heading in your direction, pal. You might be passing me soon.
That will not be happening.
It might.
If you pass me, here's the rule. Here's the rule for that. So this is going to keep us both accountable. Mm-hmm. If there ever comes a day that I'm a better golfer than you, we both have to retire, I think is the fair.
I don't think you should retire. I think you should keep going if you become a better golfer than me.
Well, I think what's going to happen is you're going to like have a degenerative back problem that drags you down to me. I don't think this is going to be.
My back is absolutely killing me.
Yeah.
I played hockey last night too. Well, like my whole thing is
you're an
up.
Old broken man. I don't know why you think you're 22. So well, tighten that up.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely not.
I'm an active guy. I like being active.
Yeah, so
deal
am I.
With the pain.
Just do with something that doesn't break your back. That's all I would,
well, golf
I would say there.
Is golf is bad.
It is.
That.
It's tough.
Yeah.
All right. Keep text coming in. 590. Ailish is chief grinder of the day on the road at 3 a.m. Going to be tough to beat that. But if there's some guy crawling around in a dirty, wet pit. Or whatever else makes us laugh at this time of day. If our boy Mike and Assemboya wants to keep us fed with SJHL takes and the millionaires facts from that league that we thoroughly enjoyed last time we were here, we'd love that on the text line all morning long.
It's going to take a lot to put me in a good mood.
That is your
challenge for today.
How much? Well, I want to be very clear about this. We're not going to golf together, so you've told me, so I don't really care how your mood is. That's the only time I care about any of my friends' personal well-being. I have a lot of friends who have just wondered what happened to me, and it's they don't golf with me, so they don't see me anymore. So yeah, that's the only time I care all that much about your well-being, and we're not golfing. So maybe the texters can put you in a good mood. I'm not going to try.
It's a challenge.
The Blue Jays, they did nothing to help you, either on the diamond or on the trade market yesterday. Mm-hmm. What do you want to start with? Atrocious game? Potentially, in your opinion, atrocious deadline. Where do you want to start?
Well, I think, I don't even know if we'll start with the game. Maybe it's a zoom out of the game, but the Orioles are just way better than the Toronto Blue Jays, and they're going to be for a really long time. And
waving the white flag, eh?
Oh, they're just, I mean, who could sit here and say they're not?
Yeah.
Like, you know, this season the Jays are getting killed by them. They've won one against them, right?
Yep.
It's just, they are, they have a better lineup. They're more, they are, you know, the throughout their lineup, they just have guys that can do more, the better approach at the plate. Their bullpen, and the Jays is a strength, their bullpen is, you know, a strength of theirs. It's their bullpen at the back end is way better. Their starting pitching is not as good as the Jays, I guess, but in the last two games, it's looked pretty good. They still have multiple 10 out of 10 studs in the minors that they're going to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
They traded for Jack Flaherty yesterday. The Toronto Blue Jays are miles behind the Baltimore Orioles, and it's insane to say that. Like, the Jays, you know, I guess the last time the Orioles were good was in 2016. They beat them in the wild card game in 2016, the
Sounds
Orioles.
About right.
And then they've kind of gone into their competitive downswing there. They were really bad for a lot of straight years, pretty much since then. They've drafted well. They've developed well. And they are just way better, and they absolutely own the Jays. They have zero fear of the Jays. The Jays are in big trouble, not only this year against the Orioles, but for years to come. And it's heartbreaking. As a Jays fan, watching that team play last night, it's just every guy that comes up strikes fear in your heart. And, you know, they don't – it's just a really, really – you know, it just snuck up on me. Like, I knew that they were coming. I knew that they had good. I know that last year they were really good and they had that good end of the year and they beat the Jays a ton during that stretch last year, too. But I didn't, you know, I didn't necessarily think that they would follow up on that. They are legitimately one of the best teams in the league and they are a World Series contender and the Jays are certainly not.
Okay. I can't believe I'm the one giving this. I will agree with you on the lineup, full stop. You know, if you want to sit here and say, oh, well, you know, you look at the high end and Bo as a hitter is better than anybody that the O's have. Okay, I'll hear that. You know, you want to sell me, you're a believer in Vladdy, I'll hear
so
it.
If you're drafting players.
Yeah. Well, hold on.
How many Orioles go before you take a J?
Well, hold on. Let me finish. The lineup thing, I think you can't even have this debate. But I think when you look at, it's a little bit prisoner of the moment when you just say the Pens good. I think the Pens are more or less a wash. Now, Romano's health has a lot to do with this, but I think the Pens are more or less a wash. And then I think that having a starting rotation, that whatever the gap is between the Orioles lineup and the Jays lineup, I can make the argument that the gap is just the same between the Jays starting rotation and the Orioles. Now, Jack Flaherty maybe changes that a little bit, but much like if you do the position player draft, yeah, there's a lot of O's that go, but if you do the starting pitcher draft, how many deep do you get before, and I know Bassett got touched up in this series, so maybe that makes it a little harder, but you could argue you take three Jays starters before you touch an Orioles one, and that maybe includes Jack Flaherty, quite honestly. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, hey, it's smooth sailing and they'll be just fine against this O's team. No, the O's are a problem and they're only getting better. But I think to just kind of push aside the rotation, that is a massive thing and it will always give you a chance to win. So that's the only thing I'd push back on a little bit. But position player draft, you're right. It's not even close. The run of guys. I mean, it's Henderson and it's all the guys you said that are coming. It's Holiday. It's Rutschman. Yeah.
I do think that Bo probably goes second after Rutschman. And then, you know, you can talk about Vladdy or whatever, but it's just, like, I think the talent gap in the lineup, the offense, the ability to get a hit with literally one man on base at any time, they are just, you know, they're a really gritty, good team with tons of different types of hitters, guys that'll take a walk, switch hitters, a lot of left-handed. Like, you know, you look at their lineup diversity last night, and they go all right-handed except for Gunnar Henderson. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, you know, the Jays can do that too. But you know, the right-handed guys are Ernie Clement and Santiago Espinal.
Well, it helps having a couple switch bats in that lineup too. And one of them being the stud like Rutschman that he is. And even Henderson, right? You're sitting there. And I made the point yesterday of, you know, normally you'd say, do you want to throw Ryu up against this lineup? But with all the lefties they can throw out there, and Henderson can't hit lefties, somebody should have told Tianjin Ryu that before he gave up the bomb to him. Like, even the guy who you're sitting there going,
that's so stupid to bring him back out.
Yeah, it really was.
Like, you know, there's been some head-scratching stuff that Schneider's done over the, like, first of all, that was stupid, and then bringing in Hicks in an 11-3 game.
Nuts. I know.
Well, it's like, oh, you got to get him work. Maybe just wait one more day.
So you show
your bitter rival who's owning you.
I know.
Your brand new, you know, acquisition at the deadline comes in, no fear. Touch him up, see him for the first time, immediately two runs off him, hard hit
balls.
It's
so different if you're a guy like Hicks. It's like you're not to say he's not locked in, but you get what I mean. Like, it's very different coming into a two-run game than it is the situation he got put in.
It was a really, really, really odd night.
Well, like, I'm
sour, to be honest. I'm in a really bad mood about the Toronto Blue Jays. This team has been a weather vane as a fan all year. Anybody listening to this who watches the Toronto Blue Jays is a... Their understanding of what's going on with this team in terms of, you know, one step forward, three steps back, three steps forward, one step back. Like, they just have not been able to put it into top gear at all this year. Like, they really haven't. Like, it's been a stunted year. Every time you think they're going to get it going here, they take a step back and they screw it up and they play like crap and they lose to the division. Like, was it 7-22 now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just, you're not going to win anything. You play in the toughest division, sure, but like I can't believe how bad they are against these teams. Like, I know they're way better. I know they own you, but it's baseball. Scratch out three. Mm-hmm. Be 3-5. Be 2-6. 1-7. It's horrible. Like, it's really, really bad. So I think the biggest difference with the Jays and other contenders is just their complete and utter inability to get a clutch hit. And it's really, I can't imagine there's many things that keep a general manager up at night, like the inability to get a clutch hit. And we can sit here and we can talk about, you know, Ross Atkins needed to do more at the deadline. Sure. Like, I'll hear that. I'll be like, sure, maybe you should have traded for Teo, who's, you know, hitting 110 over his last 30 games. Like, sure, maybe you should have traded for Tommy Pham, who, I don't know, does he contribute a lot to this team? Like, I will hear those conversations. I'll have the conversations. But when it comes down to it, the guys that are in the middle of your lineup, who you're supposed to be leaning on every day, never get a clutch hit.
It's three guys. Let's put a very fine pin on it. It is three guys that you need to come up when it matters. And you can ask more of the Brendan Belts of the world and the Matt Chapman, But it comes down to all the hitters who are paid, okay? It's Bo, it's Vladdy, and it's Springer. If those three guys, and, you know, maybe it's unfair to lump Bo in because he has had his fair share of these knocks this year, but if those three guys as a whole are not producing the way you would expect them to, this lineup's never going to do it. And you can ask, again, you can say, hey, where's the power from Chapman? I expected more pop. Fair conversation to have. I know, weird thing to say because Belt actually had two knocks last night. You can ask more from Belt if he's going to be your three hitter, but at the end of the day, it just all comes down to those guys. George Springer
two hitter now.
Well, right, exactly, right, because of Bo. George Springer is supposed to be the veteran leader, the sage guy who's not fazed by any of this, and everybody's allowed to go through slumps, but you can't go through one like this. And the other thing I keep coming back to is, just like you will say, I'll hear the idea that they should have got a bat. I'll hear this, I'll hear that. I will hear the idea that runners with scoring position is a small sample size. It's not with this core of this lineup. We have had this conversation for two straight years now, and when you've had it for that long, it is no longer a small sample size. There is clearly something wrong, be it approach, be it talent, be it dumb luck at some point in time would have turned itself around. So it can't just be that. And that is what is so infuriating, because you're right. What are you going to do? Go look at the guys with the best clutch stats in baseball? I don't know that that will kind of, you know, translate the other way as well. So it is incredibly frustrating, but I don't know. Even me, the guy who said, I don't know how much you want to push in, even me finds the sitting on their hands of adding a bat incredibly frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, they did add a bat. They added, you know, Paul DeJong, who is a capable right-handed hitter. It's kind of a Randall.
They added a glove.
He's Randall Grichuk at shortstop, basically.
They added him because of his glove. If he didn't play shortstop, they're not trading him and saying, let's get him in this lineup. They added him because Bichette got hurt.
So I guess what it comes down to is that they didn't trade for Teoscar Hernandez, I guess is what most people thought they were going to do.
I think that's what they wanted, yep.
Yeah, I guess that's not good. Like, I watched the game last night, and sure, it's like you want to bring in a bat, but like, mm-hmm. It's so frustrating to watch these guys flailing wildly.
Totally.
In every big at bat in every game. They're now 0-17 in this series, mm-hmm. with runners in scoring position. It's just, you know, bear down. Like, I don't know what more I can say about it. It's just bear down. Have a good at bat.
Find whatever Whit Merrifield's doing, do that. Like, find a way.
I don't want to, or just be like, I don't want to be like my, you know, softball buddies, but find some green fellas. Like, get the ball in play. Like, I don't know what their strikeout numbers mm-hmm. are in those positions, but it just feels like every situation they strike out, it's like it's double plays. It's really, I don't know. Is it, I think you've, is it comp, what's the word I'm looking for here? Is it quantifiable?
That is the word.
Is it quantifiable, or is it just voodoo? Like you said, it's like it's been 2 years of this. Is it that they're just all not clutch? They're all good hitters.
It's a little bit of voodoo and pixie dust, for sure. That's that you cannot look at something like that and say that there's not some element of it there. I guarantee you, Chris Black and all the people on the Jays broadcast can go and put together a 10-minute pack of all the balls that shouldn't have been caught. I mean, you look at that Austin Hayes catch in the first game of this series, right? That should have dropped. Like, 9 times out of 10, the left fielder does not make that play.
That still doesn't tie the game.
No. I
have to come up with another game.
I understand. I'm just saying
they can't do.
Those types of plays would goose the numbers. But having said all that, you cannot keep continuing to say, and I am the king of like, look, luck plays a part in all of this stuff, but it has been way too long. And the other part of it as well is, again, I don't want to put this all on two guys because I'm going to remove Bichette from the equation because he's more or less done his job. But if you look at Springer's numbers and Vladdy's numbers, and they're more what you expect them to be it average, be it power, be it slugging, be it OBP, pick your metric. If any of those are better, guess what's going to improve? The numbers with runners in scoring position. Like, you improve your baseline numbers, all that stuff is going to improve as well. So I think a big reason, like, yes, the problem is not just one or two guys in the lineup, but when you have your big hitters who are coming up, the reason you put them at the top of the lineup is so they can get more ABs. When they have a lower baseline, it's just going to affect all aspects of the game, and especially that one, the one we're focused on the most, rightfully so, runners in scoring position. So again, it just goes back to, do they need to be better in those positions or those spots? Yes. but just be better, and it won't matter that you don't come through every single one of those times, because you will be hitting homers, and it doesn't matter if a guy's in scoring position. Guess what? You hit it over the fence, he's going to score. So it just that's what I go back to as well with this team.
Well, you mentioned Springer there, and it's like he's going to find his way out of it. You hit him clean up. You know, he has a day off where he obviously got benched and nobody wanted to say it. Everybody I listen to, it's like, oh, you know, they just had a conversation. He got benched. He's playing like crap. He's not running out to first base. The manager was sick of watching it. And the man got benched. George Springer got benched. He deserved to be benched. And he's hard to watch right now, Gunnar.
What's the point of a... I know you're trying. Yeah, like, well, no. What's the point of a benching if it's, like, isn't the point of it the public embarrassment, kind of? It's not just that you're not in the lineup. Isn't the point of it a little bit?
He shouldn't be in the lineup.
The pee-pee whack, to borrow your parlance? Yeah. Like, isn't the point of it that if you just come out and say, oh, no, day off, whatever, it kind of removes the consequence from the point of it? But, sorry, go ahead.
He should be. He shouldn't be. Like, if they had one option... I mean, this is a good argument for them making a trade for Teo. Like, maybe try someone else. He's dreadful. He's got no, like, I don't know. What's a worse contract, him or Tavares? Like, it's like we're having those conversations now. It's
buddy on the text line loves that you said that. I can't find it in front of me right now, but he has been dropping that comp. Probably Chris in London, if I'm being honest. Okay. He loves to bury Tavares. So.
Well, it's eerily similar. But I don't know if he's going to come out of it. Like, is he just not good anymore? Well, like, his OPS is about to dip below 700.
I know Hyunjin Ryu got hurt, so it doesn't count the same, but it's what happened with Hyunjin Ryu. They paid him. It was a short-ish term deal. I know Springer's is a little longer. You got your money's worth in the first half of it, and now you're sitting there in the back half of the deal. We're sitting there with Ryu going, well, he gave us five innings where he got smacked around, and that's good enough, I guess.
Did you see my tweet about Ryu?
I did not. You've pointed this out to me. I do not see tweets from people I know. Only Kyle Porter, I feel like, is the only tweets I see.
Felt like it was a little too niche to get really appreciated, but Ryu looked like Ryan Dempster versus the Dominican Republic in that first inning.
Oh, man, that's for me. How did that not make its way to me?
He looked marginal at best.
It's among the most harrowing performances in our country's history.
I thought he looked marginal at best. Like, he's fine. Like, I thought he was throwing absolute taters for the first inning, and then he kind of bared down a little bit, but they knocked him around. How many hits they have? Nine?
Nine.
It's really, really grim at the moment. I don't want to be defeatist here, and I don't want to be, Mr. Negative, but it's pretty grim. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the Jays can still make the playoffs. I think they can still be one of the three wild card teams. I really do. I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to crash out of it because they don't play the AL East every game for the rest of the way. But they do have, I think I heard either Caleb or Buck or somebody say that the Jays have 24 more games left against the AL East. They're 7-22.
So that's automatically what, 3-21?
Do you know? So the record, like I said, is 7-22 against AL East.
Yep.
Against all the other teams in the league, they're 52-27. Versus the Orioles and the Red Sox, they're 1-14. And against all others, they're 58-35.
Who are they playing after this?
Red Sox in Fenway Park.
Yep.
And that would have been a great place to trade for Teo, because he just used that place on fire. So maybe if you're going to do it, that's your argument, that you're going into a series against a team that he absolutely owns. But like,
if you're going to trade for anybody who owns anybody, it's twofold, and it's you trade literally everything in the world for Ryan Mountcastle.
Yeah,
because then he doesn't murder you in cold blood, and he gets to hit at Rogers Center 80 games a year.
He is so good against the Jays. How good is he?
Absurd.
No, but like I'm just looking at his numbers like regularly.
No, because I've looked at it, and the actual Jays splits are so-so. But if you do it just Rogers Center, he's basically Babe Ruth. He's Shohei Ohtani, just minus the pitching, is how we would talk about him if he only played games at Rogers Center.
Yeah, like Center. He is pretty average.
But everywhere else.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, he's a 752 OPS guy, 13 bombs, 48 you know, he's not like...
It feels like he is good for two doubles every time he comes to town in a series, at the very least. And like, he's done that already so far.
How many pitches did Ryu throw before it was 1-0 last time? Yeah. Was it three? And it was Mountcastle, of course.
Of course. Like,
I don't know if I'm going as far as to slam the big red button. But the panic button is getting hovered by me.
Okay.
If they lose tonight, I'm coming in tomorrow... Full panic button.
Once you by 6:10, once we wake you up.
They can't beat these guys.
No, I'm not. I quibbled with your, who's the better team? How can you?
But who's the better team?
But in terms of...
The Orioles are way better.
In terms of matching up against one another, there is no doubt they own the Jays.
Yeah, they've lost. On the broadcast last night, they were saying again that they've lost 4 in a row once. And 3 in a row once.
The curse of Zach.
And they haven't won back-to-backs. Yeah. They haven't lost back-to-backs.
It's the curse of Zach Britton. You left him sitting out there, and now he's still the ghost that haunts this team whenever the Orioles come to town.
They're legit really good, and Blue Jays fans have to give up on the fact that this is a mirage, because it's not.
Nope.
And guess what? They're only going to get better.
Yep.
So.
Ray is not going anywhere.
Great. The Rays are the Rays.
No, they're not going to be a juggernaut for all time, but the idea that they're going to just have some, you know, 40-win season where they're the laughingstock of baseball, like, that's not happening anytime soon. So this is going to be a competitive division. We've done the thing about the Red Sox and the Yankees ain't going to stay down forever, yada, yada, yada. You got to start making some hay, got to start pushing for the split. You could do that tonight. I believe Kikuchi on the bump. Going to talk to Kylie McDaniel, ESPN MLB insider. Try to get a lay of the land at the deadline yesterday, because he loves us, because he loves mornings. He's a big Daniele guy. Why is he getting up? Daniele put the screws to him, and they're going to come on the show. That's pretty much how it always works. Fan morning show, Gunning and McKee. Keep the text coming, 590-590. Keep on listening on Sportsnet, 590 The Fan. Fan morning show. Brent Gunning, Sam McKee, thrilled to be back with you, endeavoring to track down Kylie McDaniel, ESPN MLB insider. That's okay, though. We got plenty more to say about baseball's trade deadline. So just checking in with you.
My God, my back.
Okay. Don't care. I'm going to ask you your opinion about the Toronto Blue Jays here. Take some rollbacks. I got some Tylenol in my bag.
Is that why Shohei didn't hit in the ninth? Because his back was tight? Now I get
it. I don't know. You were killing him in cold blood for it. Gosh. I hope nobody ever wants to give you $400 million.
I'm still sour about that. Well, no, I'm happy.
It's good. There's no pleasing you. Honestly, it is wild. We do this time slot and you just turn into me. You're sore. You're cranky. Nothing's good enough. And I'm all of a sudden seeing the world through rose-colored glasses. It's amazing. Okay.
You're insane.
Okay. So just resetting where you're at. Uh-huh. You wanted them to add a bat, but you're not heartbroken that they didn't. Is that a fair understanding of where you're at? Like, just maybe I shouldn't lead the witness. How do you feel? You don't have to go letter grade. Go with this wherever you want about the Blue Jays deadline. You can include everything we saw, starting with Cabrera and everything. I'm not going to ask you about that, though, because we do have Kylie McDaniel on the line, ESPN MLB insider. Kylie, thanks so much for jumping on. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Walking to my gate at the Hartford Airport. I'm sure this is the glamour you guys were looking for on the deadline.
Just exactly what we wanted. And the glamorous Hartford Airport. It certainly sounds that way.
So, he sounds so much more awake and happy than I do. It's remarkable.
Because he's a professional. We're trying to coax my buddy along here. Morning's not his thing. So I will pose to you the super stock but very important trade deadline question. The biggest winner of yesterday was who?
Well, I hesitate to say that it's the Mets because they obviously were supposed to be good and then they're not. And then they gave away two Hall of Fame pitchers. But I think the value for what they got, for what they were doing and how they used Steve Cohen's financial muscle to essentially, as much as we don't love this phrasing, to buy prospects that could be on the team next year for the league minimum. I think they actually did like the smartest execution of a tough situation, whereas a team in a similar spot, the Padres, just kind of didn't really do a whole lot. And if they don't make the playoffs, it's going to look really bad that they didn't trade Snell or Hader and get anything, whereas the Mets had the gumption to do something, given the situation they were in.
Yeah, so the big story here is the Toronto Blue Jays, obviously, and we've been talking about it, and they're having a tough go against the Orioles, who seem to really own them. What did you make of what they did? Were you surprised that they didn't make that extra addition for the other, another right-handed bat that was rumored? What did you make of the Jays' deadline, Kylie?
Yeah, I was a little surprised, but it also seems like there weren't a lot of bats out there. Like, there was a lot of chatter that, like, Seattle didn't want to trade a pitcher, but they had a bunch, and they'd like to add a bat. And so they all of a sudden were sort of dipping their toe into that market because the prices were so high. Maybe they could get, you know, Nolan Gorman or, you know, one of those big kind of names. But that market didn't really come. It didn't seem like any non-force sellers or like Dylan Cease from the White Sox, who comes with 2.5 years of control. He didn't really hit the market. Like those big, huge names, obviously Otani being the biggest one, they didn't really come. It was mostly just like rentals, guys that had opt-outs, guys that are having a bad season, dumping big contracts. It was those kinds of dudes. And also, like, I'm sure you guys are aware of this, but, like, Blue Jays don't have, like, a ton of, like, ammunition for trades. Once you take out the two or three guys they probably won't deal, they didn't have, like, the giant package of getting, like, say, a Nolan Gorman, getting, like, 4.5 years of, like, a real middle-of-the-order bat. Like, that wasn't really there. So I don't really know what the expectation was, but I know the idea is you'd like another bat. Why didn't we get one? I'm like, well, there weren't really a ton of really good bats floating around. And, like, the ones that the Marlins got, I feel like they kind of overpaid for.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to look at it. There's also going to be a lot of people saying, good, overpay. Every time I look at one of these trades, maybe one of these guys comes back to bite my team. And generally speaking, it's a pretty smart move in baseball. You know, this is kind of a bigger picture question, but are we sure the expanded postseason is a good thing? I mean, we love it. The teams are in the race. I love the teams have to try to win, and half the league can't just put their feet up in April and say, oh, it's not our year. But now we get to the deadline, and like you said, there just wasn't there wasn't a ton of obvious sellers. There were a few teams there, and there were a few others who didn't really want to be, but their record kind of dictated it. Are we sure that the expanded postseason is a good thing for baseball when you look at it at this time of year?
Yeah, I can tell you guys are in the business of sports radio for multiple hours today, because it's the second hottest take I've heard this spring. The first one was, did the rule changes make the game too fast? And I just laughed the guy off the air. But are there too many teams in the playoffs, or too many cities have hope? I'm like, no, I don't think that's a bad thing, even though it might be
too much hope, Kylie.
Yeah.
Too much hope. I will say the games are pretty fast. I went to a Jays game the other day with the fellas, and I was like, oh my God, we're out of here in 2:10. It was pretty quick. I don't know. I could hear that take.
This guy's leader was just basically like, I need to be able to fall asleep during the game, and it's happening too quickly. And I'm like, man, that is not a problem.
Is something about the dulcet tones of baseball. Not in a game you care about, but for me, a little West Coast baseball to fall asleep. Not the worst thing there. You know, you're pretty plugged into all sides of the trade market. Is there one prospect that got moved? It doesn't have to be yesterday, but kind of throughout the entirety of the deadline. Is there one prospect that got moved that's really intriguing to you that you think we should maybe keep an eye out for in the year or two to come?
The one that surprised me the most, so I did some like written recaps with our digital team after the show ended. And the thing that I noticed is, so I'll spare you like the whole explanation, but we've sort of figured out empirically going through the past of being able to figure out how much a prospect is worth in dollars, because a lot of times these guys will get traded for money on a contract. And so you want to be able to have some sort of translation, and teams have told me we do a similar sort of math, even if the numbers aren't exactly the same. And what I found was I was writing how much prospect value the Mets got back in the trades of Scherzer and Verlander, and not looking at the contract stuff. It was like, oh, this prospect's worth about $22 million. How much did the Mets toss into this trade? $22 million. And like, this prospect package is worth about $35 million. How much did they throw into the Verlander deal? Almost exactly $35 million, which was like fascinating to me that like these contracts were essentially like even money. They weren't worth anything because you were overpaying a good pitcher who's like, you know, playoff caliber. But then they threw in exactly enough money. I think it was like a combined over $50 million, and they got almost exactly $50 million worth of prospects. And the two headliners from Houston and Texas, so Luis Angel Acuna, obviously little brother of Ronald Acuna Jr., could be a big league shortstop next year as a 21-year-old in Double-A. Drew Gilbert was like my sort of pick to click in last year's draft. I had him ranked 11th. He went 28th. I bet if they redid that draft, he'd go much closer to 11th. So we'll talk about the guys I missed, but that one I'm going to pat my chest over.
Oh, yeah.
he's essentially Brett Gardner, and he might be in the big leagues next year. And that was like the headline guy they got from Houston. That's why they paid down that Verlander deal. So it was surprising to me that those kind of guys were available. And then when you see that they were essentially like purchased with cash, you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense now.
So Kylie's a guy who does takes every single day. You gotta celebrate the wins, buddy. You gotta take some of them.
Yes.
You gotta take the W's where you can get them. You mentioned Houston there, and they obviously get Verlander. To me, you know, there's been a lot of sort of the AL is wide open this year chatter, I feel like, and it's just, I think, because some of the traditional big markets aren't necessarily in it. You look at the Yankees, look at the Red Sox, who are fighting for a playoff spot, sneaky good lineup, but they're not in the upper echelon of teams. To me, the AL is not wide open, and it's Houston. It's theirs to lose, in my opinion. Like, you get down in a playoff series with Baltimore versus Houston, you think of all their successes, all of their sort of playoff-hardened guys, and Houston is a pretty clear favorite when it comes to the AL.
Yeah, we had that discussion toward the end of our broadcast, trying to figure out who was the best team. And if you just sort of look on paper, like just, you know, add up the projected WAR or whatever, it is a pretty wide open race. You make a case for a lot of teams, but I agree with you. I think that was basically the answer most of our crew came down with, is like, oh, if it's like kind of close, they just added Verlander and like they're the playoff hardened team, you'll kind of take them at a toss up. But if you just look at like run differential, current record, you know, projected WAR, all these sorts of things, it's like there's like five or six teams that you could make a case for, you know, Baltimore, Tampa. Texas has the best run differential and the fourth best farm system in baseball, like very quietly has like turned into like the Dodgers of the American League. Obviously like the Blue Jays are no slouches. There's like, you know, I would not want to be like betting my life on any one team getting through that gauntlet because these teams are so like evenly balanced. But yeah, all things considered, you kind of lean toward the Astros.
Yeah, that does tend to be the way I look at things as well. And it's just, yeah, what a shocker. They're right back where they were. The Orioles, obviously, it's a team the Jays are kind of locked in they're trying to chase right now, and they're getting the wheels beat off them in this four-game set that they've got going on right now. What'd you make of their deadline? You know, they've been the most intriguing team to me leading up to it just because of the position they find themselves in, all the ammunition they have. Obviously, Flaherty is not nothing, but clearly they had the pieces to go out and do more if they wanted to. What'd you make of Baltimore's approach at the deadline?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that, again, it was a topic on the show, was if they don't make a move for a pitcher, that they're not taking this seriously, and they're kind of spitting in the face of their own players, saying like, oh, we don't care that you're good this year. Like, we don't think it's time until next year to actually spend some resources. And then they went and got a rental of Jack Flaherty, which is the kind of guy they've had a lot of success with developing, and also traded like some real like sort of third-tier prospects, like they're guys that they're not going to miss at all. One of the things I said on the broadcast, which is obviously like my area of expertise, is the Orioles are the number one farm system in baseball right now, but they also have two top 100 prospects, Kowser and Westberg, in the big league. If both of those guys graduate tomorrow, which won't happen tomorrow, but in the next like week or so, they still have the number one farm system in baseball after losing two top 100 prospects.
Good Lord.
So that gives you an idea of how much of a lead they have, that they could have packaged together four or five of these guys and gotten multiple sort of Dylan C's.
No, yeah, one they should have got C's, honestly.
Yeah, and like there's a real case for that, and like they showed the restraint, and now like they might have half their team making the league minimum next year. Just think of what that does in the free agent market. All of a sudden there's multiple guys you can spend 20, 30 million a year on. Like, they're kind of scary that they've kind of like saved their bullets for when they want to spend them. They just sort of, you know, cashed in a couple chips to grab Jack Flaherty. He also might be a playoff caliber starter anyway.
Yeah, entirely possible. It's only getting scarier there in Baltimore. Kylie, really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, it's boarding time, so we timed this very well.
Oh, perfect. There he goes.
Safe flight, buddy.
There you go. I like to think of that as like a pre-flight pod for him. Now he can just think back on this wonderful conversation. We'll just keep him fed through it wherever he's off to.
There's few more distinct over-the-phone sounds than
you're
somebody
in an airport.
Like, it's just like, it's impossible to hide that. And you always don't think, like, when you're on the phone, you never think it's that loud.
And it's like
that lady's like talking
into
his
the phone.
Yeah.
Hey, McDaniel, give me the phone. I gotta let them know
Kylie's
about
like,
this.
He's like, hey, can you tell them about Ryan Mountcastle, please? Oh man.
Yeah, you so does that have you
terrified?
I was
in a bad mood before.
But which way does it go? Because I hear what he says about, hey, they could have their whole team making league men. Mm. Stop me if you've heard this before. You know, people say this about this ball club, and they actually spend money. We sure they're going to spend that money on players?
Maybe.
But you don't have to.
That's the most, like, I'm not, inside baseball enough to know what the Orioles' perception is of their ownership.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I probably should know that. But
I feel like this is totally...
Let me pull up Reddit Orioles and see what they think, but I just...
A lot of red face emojis, I bet.
To me, they are doing it right. I saw something from Kyle Gibson. I think it was Kyle Gibson or Kyle Bradish. They have two Kyles in their starting rotation. One of them I saw...
A lot of Monster Energy and BMX bikes in that rotation.
Bradish is pretty nasty, man. Like, he's got that 95-mile-an-hour heater, a little cut on it, that nice breaking ball. It's not like Kevin Barker over here breaking down the ins and outs. Kyle Gibson's throwing up that slop, like, just pinpoint accuracy. But I think it was Gibson who was like we're pretty good. Like, we're pretty good. Like, you know, it's like, we don't, like, they're asking about their deadline. Like, to me, Flaherty is a perfect addition for them. Like, it's a guy that's not, like, going to cost you everything that they had, but he's a guy, like he said, they traded one of their third-tier prospects for him, and he's a guy that immediately goes into the rotation. He's nothing spectacular, but he can start a playoff game for you. He can give you 4 or 5 innings, and then you get into that nasty bullpen. Like, to me, that was a great addition. You look at how good their lineup is. Two guys are graduating, like he said. They still have the number one prospects in all of the major leagues of baseball in Jackson Holliday. If I'm an Orioles fan, I'm completely fine with how they handled it. Like, I don't think, you know, that Verlander was ever probably realistic for them. If their ownership's not willing to, like, trade for their prospects for, like, big money guys, the money on that contract is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's, like, $40 million. I think he has a $35 million player option, which Brian Russillo's favorite joke. Like, he'll probably pick that one up.
I think
Well,
that's what happened with Scherzer, right? It was like, I will opt into this deal now.
Yeah. I will be opting in. So, yeah.
Where do you think the O's, I just pulled it up here. Mm-hmm. Where do you think they rank league-wide in payroll this year?
Low. I'm going to say, like, I'll say 21st.
There are 3 teams that spend less than them. The A's, the Pirates, and the Rays. That's it.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great news.
Well.
Say that again.
The only teams that spend less on their team this year are the Rays, the Pirates, and the A's.
The Rays. So the 2 teams ahead of the Blue Jays spend the 3rd least in the league.
Yes, that's right.
So,
see, again, it's funny. It's like, I totally understand what you're saying, but this is not the hard part. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say it's super easy to amass the best farm system in baseball, but the hardest thing to do, or the prove it time, we've just gone through it with this Blue Jays ownership and front office, is, okay, you've got the prospects, you built it up, it's going well, now prove it. The Blue Jays did that. They went and got George Springer. They went and got Hyunjin Ryu. We can talk about how those deals worked out, but they went and spent the money. And this is what the O's are going to have to do. At some point in time, and I'm with you, it didn't have to be at this deadline. They didn't have to go out and make a Dylan Cease trade right now. But at some point in time, you're going to have to go out and get established something, because there's no way you're just going to build an entire lineup and an entire rotation. And I guess they don't have to build the bullpen, and the lineup's been built. But you're not just going to continue to build these guys into major league starters. Like, you're going to have to go out and supplement that and buy those. And that is just the question that I have. And I, like you, I'm not going to pretend to be super plugged in to the finances of Baltimore, but that is the question that will turn this group from something being held back by that to a true juggernaut that you have to worry about.
Yeah.
Because the Rays are special for a reason.
Yeah, like, they've ruined baseball.
Exactly. Well, they have, but it's also
the salary suppression kings.
Well, they are, but if everybody could do it like them, they would. Everybody can't. People have been trying to make the Rays forever, right? Like, how many years, and again, having never covered this team, I can't say definitively, but how many times do you think Pirates fans have got the, we're doing the Tampa model spiel? Probably all the time?
Yeah, a couple. Yeah. I would say a couple. It just really, life comes at you fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life comes at you fast but the thing is, it's the Yankees probably are looking at the Orioles being like, oh my God, I wish we were young and athletic like that. They spend $1 trillion on their team. Red Sox, you know, their lineup is good, but they're probably like, this is going to be, they are the sort of jewel of, like, they're like, every team is like looking at them and being like, God, I wish we were the Orioles. And like you said, it's about taking that next step and spending the money
So I looked at it, and they have, even when it was 2016, 2017, so when they were in their winning window, top 10, like fringy top 10. So they will spend some money, but it's not going to be going out and supplanting this, you know, Stevie Cohen style. Not that anybody is.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's doing that. I mean, that was ridiculous, and it didn't work.
I have my Mets futures bet that got made in the dead of winter that's going to amount to nothing.
On opening day on Real Kiprum Born, they asked me for my World Series prediction, and I said that the Toronto Blue Jays beat the New York Mets in 7 games to win the World Series.
Okay, feel better about the Jays side of that than I do the Mets. I can safely tell you that much.
It's hard to see one side of that, and it's extremely hard to see the other side.
It's impossible, you might even say.
So,
quickly, keep the text coming, 590-590. Somebody texting in, Allison in Toronto, wondering if Ross Atkins was stuck in a dirty, wet pit, throwing it back to our grinders. People are not happy. Like, I was giving this opinion from the jump that I didn't expect them to go super aggressive and go all in. It's also pretty clear to me that they had decided there was one move lineup-wise to make. And then once Bichette got hurt, that shifted the direction that they were going to make it. I don't think they were looking at, you know, DeJong before Bichette got hurt. And I think it's possible the type of bats they were looking at were like Mark Canna, Tommy Pham. I don't know that a guy like Teo was ever really in the cards, just looking at the way the deadline played out with all the uncertainty around Bichette. I think it's pretty clear they thought they had one move in the lineup to make, and then once Bichette got hurt, they switched it to DeJong.
So he has two more years of control.
Yep.
DeJong.
It's 12 and a half and 15 and a half are the options, I think. Yeah, it is.
He signed a six-year, $26 million contract in 2018. He's an unrestricted free agent in 2026. Why did they have to give up nothing for him? Like,
well, because of that.
Yeah, but so it's like because he's not very good and he makes that much money. That's,
I think that's, they I think like that's him, effectively it.
They like him enough and they threw in some money.
And the cards are, I mean, the cards are in a full, not full teardown because they're keeping the really good players. Like, you know, Nolan Arenado, Goldschmidt, they're not going anywhere. But everybody else on that wasn't nailed down on that roster was able to go. And then this
smart,
is the
smart organization.
Well, this is the other.
It's like, they're like, you know what? We're bad this year. Yep. Let's trade all of our guys for decent returns. And guess what? Guess we'll probably win that division next year.
Cards.
Bam.
Well, the thing about baseball, too, is that there's just so many prospects in any given organization that, you know, a team can very easily talk itself into a player. Like, you know, when we do NBA, when we do fake NBA trades or fake NHL trades, it's like we all have a pretty finite idea of what these prospects are, or they are throw-in fodder. Whereas with baseball, all these guys you've never heard of, it's like, ah, some work could be really high on them because they like what they see. Now, I think it was a 24-year-old they gave up, so I'm not holding my breath on
that.
It was
a 24-year-old in A-ball.
Yeah.
So, I think,
but again, it's like if they like the profile or their pitching coach sees something, like that's the weird thing about baseball is that you can just, you could talk yourself into these guys and any organization can see guys so differently.
If you want to get mad at Ross Atkins, I'm fine with that. Like I who am I to say not to get mad at him? But if I'm going to get mad at him, it's not for this. It's for the lack of depth of prospects in the organization.
Mm.
Right? Like this is something that they were brought in on. This is something that was like one of the big selling points of this era of Blue Jays sort of baseball in the front office was that like they're great at drafting. Mm-hmm. Look at the Cleveland farm system. Yep. Look at Lindor they found. Look at that. Like there was like this whole thing about how they're going to bring up the depth. Mm-hmm. Then they're going to have, and they had a really good farm system a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Like they were a high ranked, but they haven't kept it going. And they clearly like, I think the price for Teo from the Blue Jays was probably a lot higher than it was for a lot of teams.
Mm-hmm.
And the general manager of the Seattle Mariners, that's a little bit of an embarrassing one. When you trade him back for pennies.
You can't convince me there was not a Toronto tax on that
penny
deal.
Penny on the dollars to trading him back to Toronto. No chance. Like, to me, that's after you already gave up Eric Swanson, who's having an excellent year for the Jays, that's a tough one for me. But man,
but then he didn't get moved, so maybe there wasn't.
Yeah,
because so, if there's a Toronto tax, wouldn't you have gone back right at the last minute and said, "Hey, still there? Maybe there's not that tax anymore."
Like, listen, I hate saying this, but I see both sides of it on this argument. People are like, "How do you not make a move for somebody?" How, like, but is that somebody really going to make the impact? Like, I guess it's just the change it up mm-hmm. argument.
It is.
Maybe not have Santiago Espinal taking every day at bats. Maybe not having Kevin Biggio in there every day. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, I guess, just the change it up thing. But to me, if you want to make the argument, it's like, well, there wasn't, no one got moved. Like, who got moved that really, I guess, Pham? Sure.
Yeah.
What up, Pham? Like, I mean, I've seen that guy's been on 17 different teams in the last 3 years, and no, every fan base that I see is like, this guy stinks.
Yep.
Can't, you know, it's like, so. I think it was underwhelming. I think people were pretty much convinced that they were going to get another bat. I thought that Ben Nicholson-Smith tweet about how the Blue Jays are done was a real kick in the crotch for mm-hmm. a lot of Blue Jays fans and completely understandable. And
maybe
I saw
we'll
a lot
have him do a live reading when he joins us at 8 o'clock.
I saw a lot of blowback to it, and I get it, and I understand it. It was not – but I do think that they also trade two of their biggest prospects for a rental reliever.
Closer. Hicks, yeah.
They got DeJong. They got Yenesis Cabrera. So I guess what would you give their grade on the deadline?
I think it's a C plus.
Yeah.
I think in the moment, Hicks' first outing, he gets touched up, but I think we're kind of understating what that is. And maybe I am the wrong guy to ask.
I can't believe they brought him into that game.
It's ridiculous they brought him into the game. But I am the wrong guy because it's like I give them extra marks for Hicks because I've been begging for them to get this freak of nature forever. So I think that when you look at it, it's disappointing because the most glaring need for this team was the offense and you didn't fix it. Because, you know, I understand you dealt with a need because of Bichette's injury, but that's still a downgrade. Going from Bichette to pretty much any shortstop in baseball with the bat was going to be a downgrade there.
Would you like to hear Teoscar Hernandez's last 30 games?
I would love to hear that.
He is a 203 batting average, 267 on base, 314 slug. In 118 at-bats, he has 43 strikeouts. Two home runs.
Well, there you go. It's all worth it then.
He's been terrible.
It's not been good. It hasn't been good.
And I guess you can make the argument that just bringing in that guy, life, like, they're humans. If they're not they're not pawns, they're not chess pieces, totally. Maybe it wakes up Vladdy and everybody's all fired up again. It's like, I don't really miss watching Teo strike out and playing terrible outfield defense, which has been a complete, like, 180 for this team.
Well, and it feels like it would be, you want to talk about a 180, it would feel like, you know, like, we can all talk about what the changes were on the field, the idea of getting faster and having better defense and versatility. There was also a massive change wanted in the clubhouse. And that wasn't all on Teo. Part of that was Lourdes going out in the trade as well. They obviously wanted that element removed. Now, it's not to say that that's a cancer in the locker room. I'm not saying anything along those lines, but they clearly wanted a different feel. And the idea of bringing that guy back in is saying, you want to talk about the Mariners looking at that and being like, ah, okay, we changed our mind. It's like, that is just as much of a 180 from the Jays in that perspective. So, yeah.
Quickly, last one. Mike in Assiniboia.
Our boy.
I'm just taking this for gospel because my boy Mike would never let us down.
Never.
Springer, Vladdy, Chapman, and Varsho, 8 for 70 in the last 5. Is that correct?
Sounds terrible.
Can someone fact check that for me?
You know what Varsho has to say about that? I'm with the cool kids. Varsho. Look at me being included in there.
He's hitting 7th.
Yeah.
How is anyone hit? How bad did it be to hit behind him?
Two guys worse, I guess. I don't know what to tell you. That's Sam McKee. I'm Brent Gunning. I will have plenty to tell you on the other side of this. Might talk some Leafs, probably talk some more Jays, and keep the text coming. 590-590. Please include your name and location. If you're grinding out there, we want to hear from you. Keep on listening. The Fan Morning Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.